Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm Andrew Lees, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Clint McPherson. What's up, man? How you doing?
Not much, brother. Just coming off the weekend, starting the week right by, you know, kicking off another episode for our show, keeping the momentum going for 2021, and welcoming our special guest today, Dr. Kelly Henry, to the show. How you doing?
I'm great. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, guys.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on. It's an honor to have you on the show, Dr. Henry. Before we get into our questions today, can you just tell our audience quickly who you are and what you're all about?
Absolutely. I'm a formerly trained chiropractor. I practiced for 20 plus years, mainly in New Mexico, and built up two very successful clinics. I did that on the foundation of great customer service, which I just happened to back into, but saw the impact and started studying it and developing it and understanding it better and followed that through to obviously help me with my businesses. I retired in 2018 and sold my practices and decided that I wanted to coach and consult with businesses on improving their customer service. I've been coached and consulted for many, many years. I saw the impact on my life in that arena as well. So I just meshed the two together, being a coach and consultant and knowing the impact of customer service and move forward with helping those that I can work with doing the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. So as you mentioned, as a retired chiropractor, Dr. Henry, with multiple clinics, right? And now a customer service consultant. I mean, you touched on it briefly just then, but can you actually take us back to when your entrepreneurial journey actually started? You know, what year, when did the light bulb come on, and what is it about entrepreneurship specifically that led to where you are today?
Well, being a chiropractor is being an entrepreneur. I graduated from chiropractic school in 1998, moved my young family from Dallas to Phoenix to conquest the world, basically. That was my attitude. I was excited, enthusiastic, but got to Phoenix and fell flat on my face. And it was quite a wake-up call. Didn't know how to run a business, didn't know how to start a business, didn't really know anything. And so I had the opportunity to buy a business in New Mexico and move that way in 1999. And it was a small community where my wife was from. And that's where I set down roots, move forward from there. When I was in Phoenix, I learned a lot from some docs that I worked with that had been in practice for many years. They really gave me a great foundation for being a better business person, being a better entrepreneur, understanding what I needed to do. It wasn't about just being a chiropractor. It was about being a business person as well. And you've got, no matter what your business is, you have to have a balance on being good on the business side, being good on marketing, being good on customer service and all the attributes for a good business. But you also have to balance that out with being good at whatever you are providing, whatever service or whatever product you're providing as well. And that's what happened for me in Phoenix. They helped me to understand that balance that needed to be created so I can move forward and be more successful.
Yeah, I think that's especially hard for businesses like that. Like if you're a chiropractor, or my wife is a dentist. So dentists are kind of, I feel like, similar because they have the freedom. If you're like, you know, a medical doctor who has to be in a hospital, you don't really have that freedom. You're not really probably ever gonna, you're not going to be an entrepreneur as a doctor of, you know, like, let's say you're an orthopedic surgeon. You know, it's just, you're just not going to, you know, you're going to be affiliated with hospitals, and you're going to be working with a group or with somebody else. Right. But if you're a chiropractor or a dentist or other disciplines like that, you can do your own thing. You can be on your own. And I feel like sometimes, at least from what I've seen in dentistry, I think a lot of people think that, oh yeah, I'm just going to go start a practice. It's going to be super easy. You know, I'm pretty good with the dentistry part of it. And then like business is going to be a piece of cake. And the good news with a, you know, a business like that is everybody has teeth. So kind of like, and it's a well-established industry, you know, so marketing isn't rocket science for that kind of thing. But yeah, I think you can definitely get caught up in like, oh, it's going to be really easy, really straightforward. And I think a lot of people have trouble with that.
Absolutely. And that's the, you know, that's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. You can call your own shots. You own your own business and you can do that. But you're also on the hook when you are starting out to calling your own shots and not knowing what to do or doing the wrong things or, and so it, you know, it falls squarely on your shoulders. And that's certainly what happened with me initially starting out. That's one thing that I like to encourage entrepreneurs that, you know, it's difficult at first, you know, and that's okay. Sometimes, you know, most of the time you're going to struggle. That's okay. Learn from it. Keep moving forward. Get coaches, you know, read, learn, study, you know, evaluate and just keep pushing forward. And eventually you're going to break through and gain that success. But don't let those initial failures or that initial struggle stop you from moving forward for your goals and dreams.
Yeah, definitely. So, and one of the things that we were talking about offline that you found so helpful to growing your business and to being successful in business is customer service. So I definitely want to talk about that. When I started my first business, my thought was I wanted to stay as far away from customer service as possible. It's kind of embarrassing to admit now, but I really wanted to have as little interaction with other people as possible. Sell a product, you know, here's my product, buy my product, end of transaction. Don't ever call me. Don't, you know, no questions, nothing. Right. So, but over the years, I've really learned how critical amazing customer service is to every business. Can you explain from your perspective why customer service is so important and, you know, why are there so many companies that really just are not getting it right, from small businesses up to large companies who are just terrible at it?
Yeah, what we find is there's kind of two mentalities that businesses will have. The major mentality, ones that really most businesses fall into, is being sales minded, transaction minded, just always generating more new customers, selling more, focused on that idea. And then there's that small percentage of businesses, and there's some of the biggest businesses in the world that have focused more on service. And when you focus on service, the funny thing is it'll help you create more sales. It enhances basically everything else that goes into a business. And that's where that's my goal, is to help businesses see that. Let's shift that thinking from being so sales minded more into service minded. I backed into kind of champion customer service when I first started practice. In fact, when I moved to the New Mexico area and bought the practice, the area I moved into, a lot of the businesses weren't, you know, they'd been established. It was a small community. They, you know, they didn't have to practice great customer service. And I just hated the way it made me feel. So I just made a decision, hey, I'm going to be different in my office, not because I thought it would grow my business. I just said, you know what, I'm going to make my patients feel better than I do when I'm dealing with these other businesses. But what happened was my patients responded and they started saying, hey, we love how we feel in here. And you guys, do, you know, make us treat us so well. And I saw the impact of that. And that's what helped me grow and do that. But again, that, you know, a lot of businesses think they have great customer service. And most businesses do have pieces of great customer service, but synergistically it's, they're really not doing that great a job. There's a lot of holes and a lot of deficiencies. And unfortunately, that's what the customer, the consumer, the client, the patient will see. That's what they'll key into. And that's what drives business and profits away. So again, it's that shift from sales mindset, sales or a transaction mindset, more to service and relationship mindset.
Sure. No, I would agree 100%. I think there's so many businesses out there, and you don't realize it until you're an entrepreneur and you start your own business, that focus on, or say their focus is on, hey, great customer service. but do they actually execute that great customer service, right? Are they living up to that? Because it's a noticeable thing, right? So the one company that comes to mind right off the bat is, you know, Chick-fil-A. Their customer services is just on a different level, and they're a fast food restaurant, right? And you don't see that at a McDonald's. They can care less. They basically throw the bag of food at you on the drive through the drive-through. You know, you got to actually get ready to catch your drink without it spilling on you. They want you to get in and out as soon as possible and just go. They're really transaction focused. They want you to upsize so they can get that extra profit, whatever it is. They just want to get you in and out. And I just think in the fast food restaurant industry, I mean, that one, just when it comes down to it, you can tell people actively want to go. You should just see the lines. I'm not sure if it's the same way where you live, but the lines around here, and they put them at the most inconvenient places. They're just wrapped around, and
right on the corners.
You know, so it's really not fast food anymore for when it comes down to it. Yeah, you get your food fast if you go to the drive-thru, but it takes forever to get in and out. But I mean, just it shows you though that people that drives and will help you with sales, and just it separates yourself, especially if you can live up to it, right?
And that's such a great point. You know, the Chick-fil-A, you know, you go there at lunch, and yeah, you're gonna be 20 cars deep, you know, in two lines, and you're gonna have to sit there and wait for a while. But people won't mind waiting. They don't mind waiting when they know that they feel valued, important, and special to a company. And that is the bottom line of great customer service. That's my definition of customer service. It is a relentless focus on making the customer feel valued, important, and special every time they're doing business with you. And like you said, you know, so many businesses champion and will say, yeah, we focus on customer service. We're here for the customer, blah, blah, blah. But their actions will speak louder than words most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And those companies that do it right, there's almost... it's almost like a religion, you know, they have these cult followings, fanatics that, I mean, Chick-fil-A has a fanatical following, I think. Costco is another one. I mean, when you talk to people about Costco, you're kind of like, we're just talking about a store where you go buy some stuff, right? You're not like talking about this, like, you know, life-changing experience, are you? And they're kind of like, well, it's pretty life-changing, you know, I mean, everything about it. And yeah. So, and when you have that kind of word of mouth, cause I did learn early on, my grandfather had a consulting business, and he told me that the best kind of marketing you can do is word of mouth. And I didn't really understand it at the time. I've definitely learned how important that is, but I think customer service is like tied hand in hand with that word of mouth. I mean, it helps fuel your marketing, you know, that organic marketing.
Exactly. And that is exactly true. In fact, customer service, exceptional customer service is called the new marketing because of the referrals that you get from it. Not only are you going to keep more customers, but like you said, those customers become somewhat, not necessarily all fanatical, but they are very loyal. You build those relationships, you create those bonds, and they become very loyal, and they would rather die than go to a different business. This is something that I try to get across to my clients and those I'm talking to. There's two kinds of loyalty for a business. You know, you mentioned McDonald's just a moment ago. You know, McDonald's has a huge following and there's loyalty to it because, not because of great customer service, just because, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to go home and make dinner. It's right around the corner. I can go get my food quickly. You know, I'm going to be treated like crud, but, you know, I'm still can get my food. And that's the loyalty of convenience. There's no fanaticism to that. That's not what we want. We want loyalty. You also want loyalty of convenience, but you want that loyalty of relationship and value that you create for your customers. And that is the huge key component to great customer service, creating that loyalty not because of necessarily how the customer feels about the business. You're creating that loyalty because how you make the customer feel about themselves, valued, important, special, like a rock star.
Sure. 100% agreed. And so, Dr. Henry, while it makes logical sense that customer service is important, right? I think it's tough for most business owners to understand how it can really move the needle for them in a significant way, which you kind of just touched on, right? The referral base, it just creates that extra, thing that there was missing probably before, right? And so how are you able to help business owners not just save their business, but also use customer service to add significant revenue to their bottom line?
Well, depending on the business, the initial thing that we want to do is we do an audit and we get an idea of where they are currently. Again, every business thinks they have great customer service, and then we dig in a little deeper and that's not exactly the case. And so we need to clear that up. One thing that I always teach is you can't let customer service be a shiny new object or just the thought for the week or the month. It's got to be a foundation. It's got to be a principle that you really want to, place your business upon. Because if it's not consistent, if it's not a foundation, again, it's just going to be thrown by the wayside and it just won't be as effective. Another huge area where we have to be careful with our businesses is how the employees, how the staff, how those that work for you are treated. You cannot treat the employees bad and think they're going to turn around and treat the customers good. So that is a huge piece of the puzzle. And that's something that I hate to admit it, and it's a little embarrassing for a few years in my office, I did not treat my employees like I should have. And one of my coaches called me on that. And so that can be a big hurdle that businesses need to, refocus on. Give the employees the wow experience so they can turn around and give the customers the wow experience. And that can make a huge difference. Another thing to think about is, customer service is not that hard to do. It seems like it may be difficult. It seems like it may be troublesome or too expensive or too much of a burden to take on. And that's what I get across to my clients and those who I work with. Let's not make this hard. Let's get some simple principles, some simple rules, some simple ideas, and some simple actions and put them into play. And then let's maximize the results because of that. So let's not make this hard. Let's just take these simple strategies, do them consistently, and then reap the rewards because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've the best reviews that I get for one of my businesses, it's a product-based business, and the best reviews are the ones that, I love the ones that say, hey, you've got a great product, this works amazing, it's awesome, we love the way that it looks and functions. I love that too. But when they say, and we talked with, we messaged with the owners and they were super helpful, it's like, that's awesome, because they feel that and they see that and they appreciate it. And just a little, like a quick, we sell on Etsy and we'll get a message and, just get back to it as soon as we can. And something we think is so obvious or so easy is super helpful for them, and it goes a long way. It turns, most times it turns into one customer. And then a lot of times, if we're, since we're really focused on helping them, it turns into a good review, like a great review. And then that, those two things combined kind of turn into referrals usually. And that's hard to track, but we're just kind of assuming that's happening,
Absolutely. And the key thought is, like you mentioned, it's, you're not helping that customer initially because you're trying to stimulate a referral and make more money because of it. You're helping that customer because you honestly want to serve them and help them have a great experience and leave them in a positive mind frame or have a positive feeling about your business. And then Whatever happens from there, is up to them. But again, at least your focus is on serving that customer first.
Exactly. And if you think about it transactionally, it feels instantly like a waste of time to message, somebody to take a few minutes, and you're thinking, all right, how much am I really, you kind of start doing the math. Like, they're interested in this product. factor in the cost of goods, marketing expenses, commission to Etsy or, you know, to whoever, Amazon or whatever. And then, pay our, we actually don't have employees for that business, but, you know, you divide it over myself, my business partner. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm going to make on this. Is it even, how much is it worth my time for this one potential order? I don't even know if they're going to order it. And so when you start thinking like that, it becomes like a job. It becomes painful. And so I really just think about it. Like, I'm so excited to help this person, whether they buy or not, whatever, you know. And if you don't think about it transactionally, then whether it's going to make you $1 or $100,000, I think it makes it so much more enjoyable too. And then when they just say, hey, thank you so much, that's it. That was the reward right there. Then everything else on top of that is gravy.
Exactly. And that, you know, again, there's a lot of talk and recently that, you know, we shift the verbiage for customer service to customer experience. Mm-hmm. But for me, it always boils down to service, you know. And if you're truly serving somebody, you're not looking at what you'll get in return. You're looking at how you can make that experience good for them. So it's got to be from a service level and an attitude of service. My mission statement in my chiropractic offices and what I recommend my clients take on as their mission statement is to be the best part of that customer, client, consumer, patient, whatever the case may be, day. Be the best part of their day. You're not looking at being the best part of my day because I'm making more sales. Let me have that attitude of, hey, how can I make their day a little bit better and serve them in a little better manner? And you can't help but reap some rewards of that, but you have to have that service attitude first.
Yeah, I love that. So, Dr. Henry, through your entrepreneurial journey, from the highs to the lows, what has been the most difficult thing about being an entrepreneur, and how do you get unstuck so you don't lose traction?
You know, like you just said, there's been some ups and downs. One of the things that helped me the most is understanding that there's no such thing as failure. And I'm not sure who said that. One of my coaches actually helped me with that, just to understand there's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback. So I've had a lot of things that I've put out and done and, you know, have wanted to grow and just, you know, things didn't happen like I wanted to, like we all have had. Well, all you have to do is not take that as a failure, you know, look at it objectively, what happened. Where did it go wrong? What can I do different? How can I change it? Do I need to go in a different direction? Whatever the case may be, look at it objectively, learn from it, and start moving forward more intelligently is what it amounts to. So that has helped me tremendously. The other thing is just and this is what I teach my clients. This is actually the first foundation principle that I go over with my clients is to foster positive attitude, a positive mental attitude. You know, life's tough. There's negativity hitting us from every direction. It's just the way it is. And so that can really stifle your strength and your drive and your want to push forward. So a positive attitude doesn't make everything right. It doesn't make it everything perfect. It doesn't make everything work out like you expect it to or like you want it to. What it does is help you keep an attitude that it will eventually, because I am going to stay in a positive mindset. I am going to keep filling my head full of positive information, affirmations, whatever the case may be. So I can keep pushing forward and be more successful. So those two things have helped me tremendously through the ups and downs, through my journey, my entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah. And I like how it's almost just a rewiring of the brain, right? If you start realizing, you know, that there's not failure doesn't exist, right? Or failure doesn't come unless you quit, right? I mean, it's the one thing, as long as you keep going, and you stay true to the process and believe in yourself and just keep refining everything, taking a step back, getting feedback from coaches, getting feedback from people, customers, and just continue to refine the process. You never fail along that way. You might, like you said, have a couple bumps in the road, but I mean, it's just rewiring the brain and realizing that, look, the only time you truly fail at anything is if you quit or if you just give up or throw the towel in. That's when you know you lost. But a true entrepreneur, a true individual that wants to succeed will never just throw in the towel, right? They might, again, pivot and go in a different direction, but you're not going to truly throw in the towel and accept defeat because, again, that is failure. And if failure doesn't exist in your mind or you have that, you know, rewiring of the brain, you're going to just be that much more successful because, again, you know that just stay true to the process. This is what I need to do. This is where I slipped up at. This is, man, that was terrible. Let's make sure this never happens again. But realizing that, you know, will help you get so much further along in your journey.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I've had an attitude, a thought, you know, an affirmation, if you will, for, you know, almost my whole entrepreneurial life, is it's not if I'm going to achieve this goal or if I'm going to be successful, it's when. It's just a matter of when. And this stumbling block is not a stumbling block. It's a stepping stone from moving forward. And I've always just kept that attitude. It's, I've had to pivot, step back, you know, felt like I got beat up, but doesn't matter. It's not if it's when I'm going to achieve what I have set before me.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times it seems like, you know, why didn't I succeed at this particular thing? And it feels like you should, right? Feel like, you know, sometimes I'll do something, I'll take an action and then it won't do well, you know, it won't do well as well as I thought. And then I sort of, you know, I kind of get discouraged about that. But when you step back, you realize, oh, it didn't work because I it wasn't terrible, but I could have improved a bunch of things and I could have made, you know, minor adjustments to it. A lot of times, you know, those changes aren't even big ones that help, you know, really make it become successful, or you just have to keep doing it over and over and over and over again. I mean, even like this podcast, I mean, Clint and I we just dove in, you know, we're like one day, hey, let's just start, you know,
and ready, fire, aim.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and I hopefully every episode gets a little better and a little better and a little better, you know? So even if we feel like, even if the idea is, I think, if you look back on the first time you did something and, you know, and you think, man, I can't believe I put that out there. And that's a good thing because that means that you've come so far and that you've gotten better and better and better and that you didn't fail. You just, you know, you continue to improve and continue to persevere and press on.
And that's something that, you know, entrepreneurs sometimes have a difficult time understanding and looking at objectively. There's nothing in our lives that we've ever done that we immediately started out good at, you know, even if you had even if you are gifted in that area, you still weren't all that great. And you had to develop that gift and those skills, you know. I picked up golf again this summer and hadn't played in 10 years. And it's been tough, you know, and I've had good scores and bad scores and good holes and bad holes. And I just have to realize, you know what, I'm not a pro. So quit having such high standards, just have fun, keep improving, you know? But you know, like you were saying, entrepreneurs, if they'll just look at what's going on, the main thing is just start, you know, get after it, get going. The time is never going to be right. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Just start taking action and then realize it's going to be kind of cruddy at the beginning, you know, but that's okay. If you can step back and look at it and just keep refining and improving, that is going to help you gain, you know, get you to your goal and gain the success you want. But you just got to start and just understand it's going to be a little rough beginning.
And embrace the journey, right?
Exactly.
So, Dr. Henry, as we wrap up this episode, I think this is a perfect time for you to plug the book that's dropping today. And then this is a second part to this, though. If you could also leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would it be? So we'll start with your book first.
All righty. My book is entitled Define and Deliver Exceptional Customer Service. And like I explained earlier on, I'm all about simplicity. So this book is just full of simple principles, ideas, rules, and actions that a business, an entrepreneur can take, implement almost immediately. But if they'll do it consistently, it's going to make a difference in their business, because it's going to make a difference in how they're making their customers feel, which is going to help them reap the rewards of better customer service. And so that's the philosophy behind the book. That's what I did in my practice in my office. That's what I teach my clients now. So you can get that anywhere. You can buy books, Amazon, Kindle, audiobooks, all those platforms. So pick up a copy. I think you'll love it and be able to grab some nuggets of some golden nuggets out of it. So one piece of advice, and I think I've given my most important piece of advice.
Yeah. You can reiterate it if you want.
Okay. Again, it's just having that idea of start out, you know, just take action. And then just realize there's no such thing as failure. Yeah. It's going to be a little cruddy to start off with and a little difficult. And it, you know, you're not as good as you want to be initially. But that's not failure. That's just normal life. You know, when you started walking, when you were 1 year old, you fell a lot, but your parents didn't keep you from walking because they said, they'll never be good at it. No, they let you continue to work at it. So that's what you need to have, that mentality. Just keep working at it and you'll get better and better and better and more successful and more successful. But just keep moving forward. Don't look at failure as failure. Look at it as feedback, and you're going to reach your goals.
Yeah, I think looking at it, failure as feedback is a great piece of advice. You know, it's so simple, but it's not intuitive. And so if you really can look at, and it's hard for a lot of us, I think. It's difficult for me sometimes, definitely, to get feedback and always be excited about it, because it's not, sometimes it feels like a kick in the teeth, like, you know, what do you mean you don't like this thing that I just spent the last 2 months developing or, you know, working on? Like so much, you don't even know how much hard work went into this and you took a 2 minute look at it and then, you know, crushed it. But you've got to have it. I mean, you've really got to have it from somewhere. You've got to have that honest feedback and you've got to find a way, especially I think as an entrepreneur, to learn from that and move on. So I really love that failure is just feedback mentality. And the more you can keep that, the better you are.
Pride and ego get in our ways a lot of time, unfortunately, especially as males, you know, and I am guilty of that as anybody, that, you know, I don't want to listen to any negative feedback or any, you know, anything that goes against what I think is right. But you got to put that aside, that pride factor and that ego sometimes. And yeah, it hurts and it stings sometimes. But again, if you can focus on, okay, let me look at that objectively. Let me refine. Let me see where they're coming from. Let me look at how I could do things differently. You're going to be better off for it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, right there, you heard it here, guys. Check yourself out the door. So I think that's a wrap for this episode. But from the both of us, Dr. Henry, we want to thank you for taking the time out of your day, man, to join us and adding value to what we're doing on our podcast.
So thank you, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it's really been a pleasure to have you on the show, Dr. Henry. Thank you all so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Dr. Henry is working on, check out drkellyhenry.com and definitely check out his book as well. We'll put that in the notes. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe to our podcast and don't forget to download our free ebook at thatentrepreneurlife.com. Also, if you're interested in having us do some mini masterclass episodes this year, please contact us through our website.
Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.